Welcome to Lyme Time. I'm Allie from the Tick Chicks. We are all more than Lyme disease and chronic illness, and together we stand with you to overcome and rise. I'll bring you closer to the experts in cutting-edge treatments and even a few unexpected ways of healing. I'll ask the questions you want answers to regarding Lyme disease and successful ways of getting you closer to 100%. We are in this together and will not be defined by Lyme. Today on Lyme Time, my special guest is Brian Anderson, also known as the Tick Terminator. And he has had a lifelong fascination with the little bloodsuckers we call the tick. His interest peaked about 10 years ago due to his wife's continued fear of them. I think we can all relate. And with several friends suffering from Lyme disease. This began the intense search for preventative ways to keep the ticks off. He has spent countless hours investigating, studying, experimenting, and he loves to share his findings with audiences across the country. He is now on a God-given mission as a one-of-a-kind tick and Lyme disease prevention specialist. This makes him a consultant, a conference speaker, author, and a provider of unique and cost-effective repellents. His enthusiasm and humor has landed him on several outdoor TV shows, radio shows, and podcasts during the last few years. And he's also created a very unique and informative website with tips to help protect outdoor workers, hunters, hikers, backpackers, campers, and anyone else who goes outside at thetickterminator.com. He lives with his wife in the Iron Mountain, Michigan area, and they have two grown children and four grandchildren. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks for having me. A lot of fun to talk about ticks.
Yeah, what more could we be doing for the world right now than talking about ticks? But it's an important topic, and I know that you, like me, have a passion about it. And I want to mention that the title of your book is Winning the War on Ticks by Brian Anderson. So let's get into it. How did you become so passionate about the tick world?
Well, it kind of started when I was a little kid. Where I happened to live at the time was Lower Michigan. That was, I'm 65, so that was a while ago. And we didn't have any ticks where I lived, but we would visit my grandparents and they had them. And to me, a little kid, five-year-old kid, a tick was kind of like a mosquito in my mind. It didn't fly, but it crawled around and sucked your blood, and we never had any problems with it. Nobody talked about Lyme disease, nothing like that. Up until the 70s and 80s is when they started talking Lyme disease a little bit. But it was just a little nuisance to me at that time. So probably about a good 10 years ago is when I really started investigating them, like the bio says there. And I was doing experiments with them in the basement on the carpet with my grandkids,
Oh my gosh. Make it better. That's so fun.
I brought ticks in the house to do experiments with them,
What kind of experiments were you doing?
I wanted to see how they would react to different, like baking soda and flour and anything. I hadn't learned a whole lot about them at that point. I got a scratchy throat right now too, so I'm sucking on a cough drop.
It's going around. Yeah.
But I get all excited, because I was doing all these different experiments, and because my wife can't stand them. And I was trying to hope to get them to experiment as to what happens when ticks come in the house. Okay. How can I get rid of them? Can I make some kind of chocolate that they're going to go to instead of us? And guess what? There is nothing. All they want is blood. Mm. So then I, doing more research, and a friend of mine was going through a really hard time with Lyme disease at about the same time. And I was just thinking, man, what can I do to, I couldn't help him, so to speak, with the Lyme, but I was thinking, what can I do to help prevent this from happening to other people and myself, of course, family first. So I bumped into, some different preventative methods that we'll probably get into, like permethrin is the one thing, but what do you do? How do you keep them off you? What happens if you get bit? Different things of that nature. So that's kind of led me into the website. And I speak across the country to companies that have outdoor workers. I have a lot of fun with that. And any outdoor enthusiast type, like backpackers, hunters and stuff like that. So
That's amazing. That's an amazing story. And you know, I'm sure one day somebody will be doing something similar and messing around and trying something new, and maybe they'll find the one thing that ticks absolutely hate and will stay away from at all costs. But as of now, there's not a lot. But we do have some options, and that's exciting. And I always say it's always surprises me how the people that it seems to most affect are outdoor enthusiasts, people that are out in nature, people that love nature, people that have a genuine appreciation for nature, the children who are obviously loving their outdoor playtime and all of that. I mean, that is really the type of person that comes into contact with ticks most often. And so I've really realized on my own journey how many wonderful, outgoing, type A extremists, you know, and lovers of the earth there are out there that end up with Lyme disease, probably one of the worst things that comes from nature, so, certainly. So, what can you tell me just some basic misconceptions about ticks?
There's quite a few of them. I mean, even the say, for example, one misconception is that people think they die every winter. They don't. I'll get it, the lifestyle of a tick is typically like this. A female gives birth to about 1,000 to 5,000 eggs, typically in June. All right. And after that, a couple of weeks later, they hatch out the eggs and they look for their first host. Because at that point they're just like a speck of brown on the ground, okay? And so their opportunity for a host is very limited, and normally it's going to be like a little white-footed mouse. They get on that white-footed mouse, they start sucking the blood out of it, and the germs from the mouse that go into the tick is where they get their diseases. They're born disease-free, okay? So they feed on that mouse for a couple of days, drop off, and do whatever ticks do, which ain't a whole lot. I mean, they just got to hang around. They just got off the full belly deli, you know, and they're happy for a year. So they just kind of chill out for that summer, that fall, and they grow a little bit over the winter. And in the wintertime, they dive down under the leaf litter. And in our area, snow comes over, and it is great insulation. But they don't freeze to death like a lot of people would expect and hope for. But then the next spring, getting into the lime or the life cycle, is they're the size of a poppy seed. And you know how big a poppy seed, man, it is really tiny. If they had li got Lyme disease or any other disease the summer before, they're just as lethal as a nymph-sized tick the size of a poppy seed as they are a full-grown adult. They don't have to be big to be bad. They can be tiny. And that little nymph-sized tick could be on your shoelace, and you couldn't even see it hardly. It's so small. So then they're looking for their host that year because they only need to eat one time a year, most ticks. Okay, I'm giving you most of them here. They look for a host, could be us, could be some little animal, and they want to feed on that for a couple days, you know, three, two, three, four, 5 days. And after that, get off and just kind of chill out, grow again. Next spring, they come out as a full grown adult, looking for a host again. And could be us, could be a deer. A lot of times they get on deer. They'll feed on the deer, they'll mate, they'll ride the deer for the winter. And next spring they get off, the male gets off, he dies, female gives off. And just think about giving birth to 1,000 to 5,000. So she dies after childbirth. So their typical life cycle is about 3 years. And that's provided that they have one meal at least once a year. So.
I actually had no idea that a female tick would give birth to 5,000 and then die. Okay, those are two things I didn't know. I also didn't know the typical life cycle is 3 years. I honestly did not know these facts, and that is so scary because it just makes you realize that they hang around. I mean, once they're out and about, they are not just dying, you know, like flies within a
No.
few weeks or something like that. And
They're
they
pretty.
only have to feed once a year.
Yep. I think how much money I could save on groceries if I only had to eat once a year.
I mean, seriously, I want that program. So let's talk about some of our favorite outdoor activities. I mean, I come from the Midwest as well. And there's so many hunters and gamesmen and people out and about hiking, and it's thick. A lot of our forests and our woods and lake areas, it's thick coverage, ground coverage. So let's talk a little bit about some basic things. Is there anything, let's say, a hunter has to do differently than, a hiker or a gardener? Let's talk a little bit about specifics. Or is it all that basically the same?
Well, let's talk about their habitat. Their habitat is traditionally like grasses, low-lying brush, okay? They sit on the edge of the, for example, a piece of grass, and they do what they call as questing, where they have eight legs, so they're actually part of the arachnid family. They're part of the spider family. They're not insects. So they have the two legs. The other six are wrapped around the vegetation. They have the other two that are monitoring out there, that they can sense. They have very almost no eyesight. They can sense our CO2 that we breathe out. Same thing with, animals are going through the woods, and that's what they're seeking. But granted, they do not drop out of trees. They don't fly. They don't jump. They're opportunists that sit on some kind of vegetation. As we walk by, as an animal walk by, they latch on and then they start looking on that thing, whatever they got on, for a nice place to have a meal for several days. And that's typically where they are. They're going to stay away from let's say a asphalt parking lot. That's too hot for them, okay? They don't like a lot of high heat. Sometimes in really heated times of the year, let's say in Texas where they have them sometimes, where they have them, during really, really hot times, they're going to be less active, okay? But they're all over the place. I've read a lot of articles even that in California and East Coast, West Coast, we're on the beaches. The grass, beach sand, the beach grass, just they've been found on that even. Who would
Oh
think,
yeah.
hey, going to the beach, you got to worry about stinking ticks?
Oh yeah, especially in Northern California, I've heard the same thing. And
Yeah.
you would not, it would be the last thing on your mind. And how are you supposed to really protect yourself when you're on a beach? You're wearing basically no clothing except for a swimsuit. So there's that. But yes, I mean, they're basically everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, tick checks are extremely important, for during tick season. But yeah, it's that's basically their habitat. They're going to be in shaded areas more than sunny areas if there is possible. I tell people when you're hiking, stay on the paths as much as you can. The more you get into the brush, the more opportunity they're going to have to get on you. But still, I mean, think about it. When you're out there, I mean, hunters, I mean, I'm a hunter myself. We walk right straight through the woods sometimes. And it's not just during hunting season, because a lot of hunters, it's months of preparation before, scouting out the area, building blinds and so on like that. I mean, think of turkey hunters. Turkey hunters in the springtime of the year sit down in tick habitat. In the springtime, when they're at their worst, so they're sitting in tick environments. So they really need protection there, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I
And
mean,
even people in the spring, they go out hunting for mushrooms, let's say, in the spring when it gets the snow finally melts. So it can be a lot of different times. Definitely.
so let's talk a little bit about, hunting. Let's talk about if you're going into a dense place, what does that look like? What is tick prevention? What are the preventative specific things we should be doing every time we go into a thick wooded area?
What I do personally is I use a product called permethrin. Okay. I don't know if you've heard of that before.
Oh yeah, I have it on my website. It's the hardcore. It's the most hardcore tick repellent out there. And it's a chemical.
I mean, it's created in 73. They came up with four different uses for permethrin. doctors use them for licensed scabies. Farmers use it for crops. They use it for their animals. And then there's another formulation. There's four different formulations. Another one is for formulations for the clothes. So they all have their own applications. And I talk about the ones for clothes. What's unique about it is it's very low in the, if you want to call it, toxic scale. I mean, it's so low it barely even makes the scale. Spray it on your clothes, and it dries clear, odorless. You don't even know what's on there. And the cool thing about permethrin, I call it vitamin P for your clothes, because it adheres to the fabric, and as when ticks crawl on it, it drives their nervous system nuts. Okay,
Ha ha ha. It's
I love it.
reversed nerve problems.
So they're walking up your pants, let's say. They get on in your shins, and they're getting up by your knee and your thighs. And by that time, if you have your clothes treated with it, a lot of times they're going to fall off and die. And it doesn't bother us at all, of course, but it's great on ticks. I mean, I watched a black fly, for example, land on my thigh here a couple years ago. And to me, it was just sheer entertainment, okay? Being a Dick Durbin. This thing is high stepping, tiptoeing around on my thigh. If it could talk, it'd say, "What the heck did I just land on here, man?" It could
What
sense
they
the,
were expecting.
right. It could sense the permethrin, and it flew off. And I say, "Cha-ching, I won because it didn't bite me." If I didn't have that on there, I would be looking around, But that's how it works. It's called a contact repellent. They don't notice it until they come in contact with it. So it's
Got
cool.
it. So they don't even smell it coming away, coming towards them. So a couple of things about permethrin that people may not understand is that you don't just spray it as you're going out the door like we used to do as kids, spray ourselves with the off and then run outside. What you do is you actually lay your clothing outside in the sunlight and you really kind of douse it, would you say, Brian? I mean, you got to really soak your jeans or your pants, and also soak your shoes. Spray them until they're very saturated, and then leave them out in the sun to dry. And those clothes can go through up to 12 washings in your washer machine, as I understand it.
Well, yeah, I work with a very special permethrin that's
Okay.
unlike others. The ones you can get normally at the off the shelf, in any store, is usually good for 6 weeks and six washes. The one I work with is very unique. It's the only one that's designed for clothing, where you decide how long it's going to last. I treat my personal clothes for like 12 weeks. I could treat them for 24 weeks if I wanted to. But that's very unique. Backpackers like that, because let's say they're going out on a hike for a couple months, they can treat their clothes at home. They don't have to worry about them their whole hiking time.
That's so
But
excellent.
hunters can do the same thing. Treat it at the beginning of the season and not have to worry about it until the end of the season. And through the washing machine too, it still stays on.
Incredible. So when you go hunting, let's say you were going hunting, would you then, would you, we know you will spray your socks and shoes and pants and jackets, but would you also do any, would you put on a gaiter or anything so that the tick couldn't come inside the pant or anything like that to your leg?
It's not a bad idea to do that. Some people will, depending on what they're doing, some people will tuck their pants into their socks. Excuse me. It looks a little corny, but that keeps the ticks on the outside. That keeps them crawling onto the permethrin that they're going to be, encountering there. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea too. And then what about your skin? You obviously cannot put permethrin on your skin. So what do you recommend for somebody going in a heavily dense area?
I recommend DEET, and DEET, a lot of people don't realize that DEET, the percentage of DEET, let's say 25% or 100%, most people think 100% is stronger. It's not. The only difference between 25 and 100 is that 100 will last maybe a couple hours longer than the 25%.
Okay.
So the way DEET works, that's created in 1945 for our military, and DEET works based on the smell. So let's say you have DEET on. DEET is great for skin, so I put on the skin and then permethrin on my clothes, and that's the best PPE you can do. That's it. So a mosquito comes along and they smell that, and it screws up their little antennas and tells them, it tricks them and says, "Hey, there's no blood there." So then they fly off. So that works on the scent, the smell, the aroma, where permethrin works on a contact. So that's the difference right there.
Okay, great. And DEET is still pretty strong, but it'll do the trick. And I really think that if you're going hiking, hunting, camping, you really need something pretty hardcore on your skin, and children too. And you brought up an interesting subject, which is the fact that ticks are not the only thing that can transmit Lyme disease. I mean, we're talking mosquitoes as well. Also lice and spiders. So I think that everything that Brian's talking about right now not only has to do with ticks, but I'm sure it would prevent all of them.
Yeah, because permethrin can be used for a lot of different applications. The biggest one I deal with, obviously, is clothing and gear. People spray it, backpackers spray their tents and their backpacks, stuff like that. But yeah, it's a wonderful product. There's no problems with it. Just don't spray it on your skin.
That's great. And you could probably spray it in on your sleeping bags and everything. I mean, it's just better to be safe than sorry. And I think that the average tick only lasts a few seconds when it once it crawls onto your shoe or something like that. It just, like you said, it just falls away, falls off. You can't take.
It gives you a fighting chance against the ticks out there. It really, I mean, I never say 100%, because I'm careful with that, but it really harms them. And let's say they're crawling up your pants and they still crawl on. By the time they ever get to your skin, if they've been crawling that much on permethrin, they're going to be so devastated. They're not going to hardly be able to even feed on you because they've been damaged so much from that permethrin contact that they've been making on the clothes.
Yeah, and
So,
I think it's a good opportunity as well to tell our anybody with long hair to make sure and tie it back. A lot of times people bend over and they're, getting something out of their backpack, or they're if they're hunting, they're bending over. And that hair actually comes in contact with the grass. And then you've got the tick potentially going onto your skin right from there to the ear area or neck or something like that. So just a word of prevention, I guess, would be to tie the hair back and put it under a hat that's been treated and give yourself a fighting chance, as you say. So, what about, let's talk a little bit about the average person. So, I'm no longer going camping or hunting. I'm just doing a little gardening work around my house, or I'm taking my kids on a walk through maybe the neighborhood that's not, that might be on pathways or something like that. Something very gentle, but it's tick season and I'm in tick country. What would you recommend for those people?
here's some things to think about is that, let's say even where a swing set is lined up in a yard, if it's in a sunny area, there's going to be less apt to have ticks there. Shaded areas, near leaf litter, wood piles, vegetation, they're going to hang out more there than they would be in a lighted, a very sunlight lit area. As far as gardening even goes too. Just a flower garden, I mean, they can be in there sometimes too, especially if it's in an environment where there's wildlife going through there, a deer coming around, and they're almost every place anyways. Rabbits, anything like that. I mean, ticks could be on them and drop off. They don't care where they drop off when they're done eating. So they could, I've had, gardeners, you think doing your flower garden, I mean, you gotta be safe there. But they can be there too. Keeping your grass cut, trimmed, in the yard is also a help too. If you have it depends on where you live. I mean, if it's a like an outdoor area, a camp area, maybe more grass. So those little tips like that. There's a lot of stuff like that on my website even too.
That's great. And
Information.
what and I've also heard sort of lining things with mulch can be helpful in prevention.
It would have to be like not the wood chips. Are you talking wood chip type of mulch?
Yeah, they must be cedar or something, wood chips.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, any kind of even like a 3 foot section around, your yard, with wood chips or gravel type like that. Think about a tick, how hard it is, how tiny they are to navigate walking over that, is really tough.
Oh,
So
yeah.
yeah, that's on my website there too, is how to set up your yard. Try to deter them, from walking in.
I've also heard that certain plants can help be a little bit preventative. Have you heard of that too?
Which type plants? Like what?
Well, specifically, I've heard about cedar trees, and then I've heard about some specific herb bushes. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I've done things like that in the past. I've mentioned some things like that in the past that people are that they are a natural deterrent for some of the ticks. Now, I'm not saying preventative, but they're a deterrent for what it's worth. But like you said, I mean, I have in my own home at the lake, I have wild turkey and raccoons and all kinds of things scampering around all day, all night. In fact, I tell this story often, but I once had a tick attached to my foot. I was wearing flip-flops, attached to my foot within 7 minutes, and I was just walking through my neighbor's yard. So it was cut grass, a little bit longer, grass because it's down toward a lake, but it was not knee high or anything like that. It was just, regular old grass. And I walked down. By the time I sat down and was enjoying the lake, sure enough, there it was on my foot and it was attached. So this was a very aggressive Lone Star tick.
Okay.
And usually those, from what I understand, really like to travel on wild turkey. And so it just goes to what you're saying, no matter if you're going out, even if you're just going out and about, maybe checking your mail or walking down the road a little bit, even if you're putting on a natural repellent, I think it's better than nothing.
Yeah, just being aware of them, okay? And when you have it on you, that's crazy. You got it on your foot that quick, but it can happen. Absolutely. I tell people, well, while we're talking about that, I should also mention too, the way you remove a tick can even make a difference. I tell people, I mean, we have all just grabbed the tick and pulled it off. But I will tell you the best way to do it. The best way to do it is use a fine tip tweezers. Like grab tick here. This is my little stuffed pet tick, I call it. And I pretend, let's say it's stuck on me right there, okay?
Okay.
The way you grab it, you don't want to grab it by the body, because if you grab it by the body, you're kind of squeezing it, and it may puke the bad stuff in you at the time you're taking it out, okay? So you want to grab by the very base and pull it straight up, all right? You want to be nice to a tick when you're taking. You don't want to tick off a tick, when you're taking it off. You don't want to spin it around. You don't want to, put Vaseline and all that junk on it. You want to take it off very gently. And after that, you want to take a picture of it too. Maybe even save it. I don't care if you shoot it or hit it with a hammer, but be careful taking off, because you don't want to make it mad. And then you want to probably watch, not probably, you want to definitely want to watch that bite area. If it has any kind of bad reaction, I mean infection, bullseye rash, maybe your elbow swells up, or achy joints, flu-like symptoms, Bell's palsy, brain fog, the list. I mean, you have anything like that, even close to that, in the next following couple days, don't think about seeing a doctor. You need to see a doctor, because it's all about early detection and early treatment. Some people say, oh, I'm not going to worry about that. No, it'll go. No, it doesn't go away. As you know, it only progressively gets worse and worse and worse. So normally you'll go to a doctor, and in most cases they will understand that. And sometimes they may even, it may not even be a bad bite, but you may go anyways. And they may even put you on doxycycline, which is typically the standard what's used. And they may do that just preventative, because doxy is kind of a, I guess in the antibiotics, it's kind of a lower level. It's used a lot. and it works great for Lyme disease, you know, kind of killing it in the beginning there. But it's so important to get that taken care of right away. I mean, within a few days or a week. You don't want to wait months because then it's too late, as you and I both know that
For
thoroughly.
sure. Yeah.
So
And
early, that's early treatment. I can't stress that enough.
it's really true. Even though I sent my tick off. I also want to say, take a picture of the tick, but put it in a Ziploc bag and then send it to a lab and they'll tell you exactly what that tick was infected with. And most of them are affected with some sort of, if it's Lyme or a co-infection, for sure. There are now so many co-infections out there and they're discovering more each in every day. But my tick that I just mentioned was not a big tick. It was like a poppy seed size tick. Again, it had only been attached 7 minutes. I took it off, I removed it, I sent it off to the lab. And in the meantime, my kids had doxycycline in the house and I just started taking it because that's the way I had already had Lyme disease.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I was not going to go down that road again. But even with that, sure enough, 48 hours later, I came down with flu symptoms. And, you know, it took me the better part of a year to really clear and move on from that. But I knew exactly what to do.
Right.
For the average person, they have no idea how important time is of the essence. I mean, it's just so critical that you start treating immediately if you can, because it can take 2 weeks for you to understand what those lab results are.
For sure.
Any given tick. Now you mentioned that ticks hate heat, and we often hear that when you come in from the outdoors and when your children come in from the outdoors to throw the clothes immediately into the dryer and heat on high for a cycle. High heat, as high as you can get it, and then also obviously go through their hair. Or encourage them to take a shower and really scrub their bodies all over. But is heat something that would, I guess what I'm asking is, why aren't we looking more into a heat type of you know, way of preventing the ticks if it actually kills them?
Well, there's one way to do it with a lot of heat, and that's with the burning, controlled burns. I have part of that in my book that I talk about that. But that's got to be, very well monitored. I mean, I'm saying to the least here. But yeah, if somebody controlled burns, let's say their area, probably in the springtime of year, when it's kind of they just turned dry, but the ground is still wet. I mean, thinking of forest fire, stuff like that. Yeah, that really does a job on them because that'll kill ticks for several years. That you probably won't have any there. I don't know how many years it is, but it's several, and that's yeah. So high heat is definitely the
Yeah, that's it. That's it. We embarrassing story, but one time we had sent one of our kids to do work in a very rural community, and he did this as part of a service trip. And he came back and didn't unpack immediately. And we had some bugs that came back with him in his luggage. And I mean, it was kind of a nightmare, but what, lo and behold, what was the way that we actually killed them all was they came in with these heaters and they heated the inside of our house to about I think it was like 120, 130 degrees, might have even been more, 180 degrees, I don't even know. But they heated the entire house for about a few hours and left, and that was it. It was crazy the amount that it, because if you spray your house or have it fumigated, you can actually have to repeat that process. This was one and done, and I was just so shocked at how it killed every living thing that came in contact with it. But we didn't have to pack up our house or anything. All we had to do was make sure that we didn't have any candles laying around.
Wow,
Yeah,
I
so
that's a good one to me.
it's kind of interesting to me that it seems like an area that if we know that high heat does in fact kill a tick, that aside from a burning, a controlled burn, which to me sounds, well, we couldn't even do it in our area anyway, but it seems like there'd be some way to work with that. But that's just me musing a little bit.
Like you referred to as throwing them in a dryer. I tell that to people a lot. Yeah, because if you come home and you have not treated your clothes with permethrin and you find one tick on you, if you don't find one, there's likely you could have more, and throw them in the dryer on high for about 15 minutes or so is definitely a great little tip. People love to hear that.
Well, something that if I had young children now, I would be doing all the time. And also having them scrub down in the shower, because I think the hair is just that hidden unknown. And especially with pets, when they come in from the outdoors, not, I mean, those ticks are so small, almost hard to see with the naked eye. So.
Speaking of pets, I mean, even like say if a dog has a dog bed that it always frequents, that it's his dog bed, you can have people spray that with permethrin too. There's a lot of things that dogs can use, like pills and collars and things that we can't use as humans. But spraying the dog beds and blankets that they would frequent is fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to say, kind of in closing, that it's my experience that these ticks are now in, they're coming in from our cities are expanding, basically. So they're coming into downtown areas, places that had never seen tick exposure before, something that's not common. I was in Atlanta recently and I was sitting downtown in a very concrete jungle type area and sitting outside enjoying coffee, and there's a tick, literally crawling across there was some plants there. And I just thought, now that's some place that you would not normally expect to see a tick. So even if you're just living in the city or on the outskirts of the city, it's becoming more and more of an epidemic. So I want to just say that we're with Brian Anderson on Lime Time, and he is the Tick Terminator. You can find him at theticterminator.com. And he has a book that he's authored. It's called Winning the War on Ticks, that I'm sure that you can get on his website. And we'll also have it on our website if we can at theticktips.com. And so I know that your website is chock full of other information. You feature some books that you like. You even feature some clinics, and you talk a little bit about the iLads community, and just have a lot of information about just general information on ticks and some videos and whatnot. So I encourage everybody to go over there. Brian, do you have any closing words for people out there that have Lyme disease or have been affected in one way or another?
Just keep on getting, looking for some help someplace, because there's always somebody out there that can be helping. That's for sure. Don't fight it alone. Like I say, I'm all about prevention. I encourage people to go to my site and pick up some of our permethrin there. That's very, very cost effective. Way, I mean, it's like 50% in the long run, because it's a concentrate that they mix. I'll end with a poem that I wrote.
Oh,
I
great.
like it.
You're a
It goes like
poet too. Holy
yeah.
moly. Okay, let's do it.
It goes like this: I hate them little suckers. I want to terminate them all. So I do it with permethrin and love to watch them fall. From head to toe, I spray the stuff, my shoes, socks, clothes, and hats, because it works on more than ticks, like skeeters, chiggers, and even gnats. So I ask you, if you're listening, to keep away from Lyme, get started with permethrin, and now is the perfect time. Thank you.
Bravo, bravo. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate your presence. And this is Brian Anderson on Lime Time.
Thanks for having me.